Nitsa, we were all so excited for this visit. There hasn't been an Israeli head of state visit Australia since Moshe Katsav in March 2005. Rivlin was meant to spend 5 days in Australia. He would have visited Melbourne, Canberra and Sydney. He was going to meet with the Governor-General Peter Cosgrove, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and other major political figures. In Sydney, he was going to attend a Shabbat service and a communal event on Sunday, March 20, but that has all been scrapped because President Reuven Rivlin will be flying to Moscow to meet with the Russian President Vladimir Putin. So there's been some disappointment in the community. Nitsa, the President says that he will express his intention to Peter Cosgrove and to Malcolm Turnbull to set an alternative date for his visit as soon as possible. So we're all hoping that Rivlin will come and see us down under. This is the fourth time in 2 years that an Israeli politician has cancelled their visits to Australia. Of course, a couple of years ago, Prime Minister Netanyahu, he was meant to come to Australia and he cancelled shortly before the Gaza war in 2014. Then Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman was meant to come to Australia, Jerusalem Mayor Nir Barkat, and now President Reuven Rivlin. So we're really hoping that we will see an Israeli politician on Australian soil sometime soon.
We are talking to Evan Zlatkis, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, a survivor of the revolt and escape from the Nazi Treblinka death concentration camp, Samuel Willenberg, died at the age of 93 in Israel last week.
That's right, Nita. Some sad news last week, as you said. 93 years of age, Samuel Willenberg. His fate was intertwined with that of well-known Australian Holocaust survivor, the late Chaim Steyer. Now, around 870,000 people lost their lives at Treblinka. Willenberg was involved in the Treblinka revolt, in which some 200 prisoners actually escaped. Only 67 managed to survive the uprising and escape, including Willenberg and Steyer, although the two apparently did not know each other. Now, like Willenberg, Steyer was among the few arrivals at the camp to be selected for work rather than extermination. Steyer passed away in 2008, aged 98. His daughter, Malka Silva, who lives in Melbourne, met Willenberg in Tel Aviv in October last year through a mutual friend, and they discussed plans for a learning center to be built near the site of the former Treblinka camp. Now, Silva, who's a volunteer tour guide at the Jewish Holocaust Museum, told the Jewish News that she and Willenberg's widow will continue with plans to raise funds for the center to be built on land granted by the Polish government.
We are talking to Evan Zlatkis, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Evan, it is embarrassing, but the Kashrut war is on again.
It is indeed, and this time it's public and it's personal. The Kashrut Authority has launched a scathing attack on Community Kashrut, which is Sydney's second kosher authority, stating that those behind it have successfully hoodwinked a large portion of the community and its leadership. The KA claimed in a letter, which a KA board member confirmed was relating to CK, Community Kashrut, that its licenses have been approached to leave the KA to be able to operate without a mashgiach full-time to save costs. But Community Kashrut Chairman David Sandler told the Jewish News that what is in the letter is absolutely false. He said the accusation that they're lowering standards and changing everything is categorically wrong. And he said, I have come to expect unwarranted attacks and a lot of baseless accusations. So the Kashrut war continues. You can read more about that in this week's edition of the Australian Jewish News.
Evan, former principal of the ultra-Orthodox Adas Israel School in Melbourne, Malka Leifa, whose extradition is sought from Israel to Australia to answer 74 accusations of sexual abuse here, has again been given a reprieve by an Israeli judge. What is the latest?
Well, the latest is that Malka Leifa's attempt to avoid extradition actually took a blow last week when a judge ordered that she undergoes a fresh psychiatric assessment. Now, it's been almost 2 years since attempts began to extradite the alleged sex abuser from Israel to face a whopping 74 charges in Melbourne. Leifa fled into Israel in 2008, shortly after allegations of her abusing students at the school became public. However, she is claiming to be suffering panic attacks whenever court proceedings loom and therefore unable to participate, causing misery for her accusers who want her to face her charges. In court on Sunday, the Israeli state prosecutor said that psychiatrists haven't adequately checked whether there are elements of fabrication in her claim, and the judge ordered that she be subjected to examination by a state psychiatrist. So this is ludicrous. This bizarre case continues. Malka Leifer claims that she's been having panic attacks and can't attend court. But, you know, Nisa, that's not good enough. Imagine if anybody who was, you know, facing alleged charges said that they can't attend court because of panic attacks. What would happen? There would be no justice. This saga continues. Full coverage in this week's edition of the Jewish News.
And we are talking to Evan Zlatke, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Shari, the Jewish journalist, Shari Markson, is sued over anti-Semitism claim. Can you please tell us about it?
That's right. Shari Markson, she used to be the media editor of the Australian newspaper. Now she's a senior writer there. And a Labour politician is suing her to test whether criticism of the Israeli government's policies by anyone can be called anti-Semitic or racist. Now, Markson wrote in The Australian earlier this month in the lead-up to the New South Wales Labour State Conference that New South Wales Labour MP Shaket Musselman said that Jewish advocacy groups are cancerous and malicious and try to deny, misinform and scaremonger. She wrote that Musselman felt comfortable enough broadcasting this anti-Semitic sentiment within the walls of the New South Wales Parliament. He took exception to the opinion piece and has taken legal action against Shari Markson. He said through his lawyer, Rick Mitry, that he opposes some policies of the government of Israel and some actions of the group that lobbies on Israel's behalf. Now, Markson spoke on Twitter this week. She said that she has never called anyone anti-Semitic for criticizing Israel. She said in a clearly labeled comment piece, she expressed her honest opinion and hopes this case doesn't try to stifle freedom of speech. The case is listed for court on May 6th. We'll all be watching very closely to see what happens.
Yes, we will watch very closely because it concerns all of us. Evan, there is a new exhibition opening next week in Sydney. Very interesting for our community.
It is very interesting indeed. Anne Frank, A History for Today. That's what the exhibition's called. Attendees will be able to view recently discovered correspondence from the 1950s to 1970s between young Australians and Anne Frank's father, Otto, following the publication of his daughter's diary. The letters, which form part of the exhibition, were located by the Sydney Jewish Museum team last year and reflect how those teenage Australian girls were inspired by the young Bergen-Belsen's victim's words. The Consul General of the Netherlands will officially open the exhibition, which has already been on show at the Sydney Jewish Museum since last week, and it will run until September this year. So a really, really interesting exhibition. And if you do have time, come along to the Sydney Jewish Museum to check it out.
Evan Zlatke, Sydney journalist of the Australian Jewish News. Thank you very much and have a great week.